And it's my privilege to come back to Markham Missionary Church. It's been years since I have been in worship and been with you in that way through the transition before Pastor Dave retired and Pastor Graham was called to serve here. And so I've been journeying behind the scenes with you as a congregation in the last number of years. And I see many people that I've never met or don't recognize. How many of you are meeting me maybe for the first time today? Yeah, so I see a lot of new faces. Thank you, my own daughter. I'd like to introduce my family to you. They don't often get to travel with me. And so this is my wife, Christy, the one who looks slightly older than all the others. Not really. And then our son is at our home church this morning in Guelph, Ontario, Madison, and he's almost 17. And then we have twin daughters. Just wave, Jennifer and Caitlin, who are 15, and Emma is our youngest 13-year-old daughter. So they get to follow. I know, that's why I brought them today. I was looking for some applause. So that's great. Thank you for obliging me in that way. But as Graham mentioned, I serve as a regional minister, and you did get my job description fairly well, so thank you for that. This sense of not being a supervisor, but a support that comes alongside congregations and coaching pastors and trying to help inspire our congregations to follow Jesus on mission in your context. And so I'm excited that you're hosting the Ride for Refuge, that you've been involved in a number of different events where people from the community, followers of Jesus, and those who don't yet follow Jesus or don't know Jesus can commingle and be together. We are called to be salt and light. And so as we gather this morning for worship, what a thrill to know that the ministry of Markham Missionary Church goes beyond these walls, connecting with others, and that's God's heartbeat, that He desires that none would perish. And that means that we need to have that sense of going. So I have come this morning to share from God's Word, and if you have a Bible, I'm going to invite you to open to Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the New Testament. If you need some help finding that, just bug somebody next to you who looks smarter, and we'll get there. I should also say that just one brief infomercial that I'm glad to come and to represent EMCC today. And that if you haven't been to our new website, emcc.ca, that it has been redesigned this year, and it is a great place to learn about our focus around following Jesus on mission to the world, and to read updates of stories that are happening, to get information about our events that run, like a JR Pitch that happened last weekend, and our global work, including our relief and development, and links to our congregations. And so you can register, log in there, and have access to resources. But it's great that you are a part of what God's doing through the EMCC around the world. And we're about 150 congregations. We're not that large, but we're small but mighty in the hand of God. And so it's encouraging that we get to cooperate in this work together. And if you still need the text, that's where we're going to go this morning. While you're pondering why we're going to the Ephesian letter this morning and to chapter 4, I just want to start off by zooming back in time and thinking about this letter to the church in Ephesus. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to those who follow Jesus, and he's advocating for some things. He's praising them as he often does in his opening prayers, and he's praying spiritual prayers of blessing on them and talking about the good things that God is doing in them. The power of God is their strength. He's been with them. He spent months with them and turned leadership over in Ephesus. And so we see that he is returning. He's saying, look, let's remind ourselves that God called me to preach to Gentiles. And he's saying this to the Jews who were following Jesus. Those who had a spiritual background, a spiritual past, He's saying, let's remember that the gospel was always intended to reach beyond to those who had no background in understanding who Jesus was. And that's why we have these powerful verses. And I'll just pick out a couple powerful verses for you. That the mission of God, he lists in chapter 2, verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near to God through the blood of Christ. He's saying we have all come into connection with God through the same pathway. Jewish background, Gentile background, spiritual background, non-spiritual background. We are called to be one. We're no longer foreigners, no longer aliens. We're family together. We are a body. I love that picture of the church. And so as we come to chapter 4 today, I want to read these verses, the first six verses. I've got them there on the screen in possibly the New Living Translation, but I'm going to read out of the New International Version. And so just follow along if you would. Here is Paul's word to them. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. I'm just going to stop there. We see here, this is the heart of the book, that at the end of a glorious prayer that Paul is praying for these believers, he's urging them. He's urging them. This is where the letter takes off, and out of all the background of people coming from different backgrounds, and good job, keep up the good work for what you've been doing well, and God has called me to be a speaker to the Gentiles to include them, and he prays for them, and now he says, I urge you, therefore, to live a life worthy of your calling. I want to look at the heart of these few verses today with a few thoughts centered in on this theme one. You know, unity is something that runs deep in our Christian circles, in our experience. We pray for unity because Jesus has desired that we be one as he and the Father and the Spirit are one, right? We want it. We long for it. But you know, human experience would tell me in the number of relationships I have that it's not that God poofs us mystically and we're all of a sudden united. It's that God invites us to recognize our unity in him. And so this morning, as we look at this theme of oneness and being one, would it be that the Lord would draw us to center in on him today? The first thing that jumps off the page for me in thinking about unity and oneness as God's church is the first verse. I urge you for the Lord then to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. There's one calling. One calling that we have received. And that is, as we follow Jesus, we come to Jesus and we go and make disciples. That's the calling. To be a follower of Jesus is to be involved in the mission of God to go into all the world and make disciples. Now, where's Paul writing this from? In about the year 62 AD, give or take. He is writing this from prison. How many of you would love to be in prison this morning? Probably not many of us. Not in Canada, and certainly not in the first century. In Ephesus, or in Rome. But when you think about this, Paul is writing this, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling, the one calling that you've received. It's the same calling, Paul's saying, that I've received. And he's writing this from prison. It's as if Paul is saying, I'm not asking you to do anything that I am not also called to do. We have the same calling. Now, I can remember, I don't know which one of my girls it was, but this is good because they get to be the good guys in this story. But one of my daughters, one day I was asking them to clean up their room. And so I looked in, peered in their room, and so we'll just say it was you, Emma, because it's probably was you. And I said, Emma, your room is a complete disaster. Please clean this up. And she was out in the hallway, and she said, well, I walked by your room, and it's not very clean either. So I went, huh? Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I'll go clean my room, and you clean your room. And kids know this, that there's something powerful when we live what we're teaching or what we're trying to instill. And how important it is. And here we see the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm urging you to live a life worthy of your calling. But he is doing that as a follower of Jesus who has been faithful to that calling, who is living that calling, who knows he was sent by God to help make disciples. Friends, we worship the God of mission, as we've said, who through Christ Jesus has brought us near to God the Father. And in the EMCC, Christ at the center is our creed. It's our motto. It's the mooring of our faith. It says, let's keep Jesus center in what he is calling us to do and to become. And so we see this calling is so rich and deep in Paul's life. And so he is the one urging us to live a life worthy of our calling. Our world needs Christians who aren't afraid, who aren't ashamed. Not just to say, I believe in Jesus, but I live for Jesus. I follow Jesus. It is the lifeblood of my daily walk, my daily journey with God and with other believers. Friends, that is the one calling that you have. And I'm not sure where you work or where you might go to school or what you're involved in your home life or in the community where you live, in a neighborhood, in a building. But friends, we have a calling. We've been sent by God to live and to proclaim the difference that Jesus makes. The gospel lived in our lives makes all the difference. I see that every congregation and the church universal is this web of relationships. And that's why earlier I said we look and see who's here today. But each one of us have these networks of relationships out there, like a giant web. And God has called us and sent us to be in those relationships. Whether our gift or talent is singing or athletics or pottery or communication or helping the destitute and the poor, that God is sending us to use what he's given us out in the world. And so, friends, the challenge, the calling is not to be bottled up, but to continue to live the calling day by day. Not to get into the ritual or the habit of saying, I'm a Christian and therefore I come to church on Sunday and dust off my Bible, come to a Bible study. But that we live with that lifeblood of the one calling that unites us. You know the encouragement to me in that? I often work alone. I often feel alone. You ever feel like that? Like you're the only follower of Jesus in a crowd of people or a room of people or a network. But we are never alone. And we are united by a single calling that God has given all of us. And so I know when I'm going to my friends and my neighbors and my networks that I am there as a representative, an ambassador of Jesus, a part of the body. And you can have that lifeblood too. One calling. Go and make disciples. In the EMC, we've developed a statement that is simply says, I am following Jesus. Maybe you've seen this before or heard others speak about it or heard me speak about it before. And this is the lifeblood of where we're going as a denominational family. That these statements reflect what it is for us to be Christians in the world today. That I have begun following Jesus. It's not over yet. We haven't achieved it. We haven't reached glory. But I'm living every day depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. And I'm being sent to bless others and to invite them to follow Jesus. I hope that's true for you, as it is for us. You know, we've had so many opportunities to be changed in our own life as a family. Just thinking about how God has sent us to our tiny crescent in Guelph, Ontario, about 60 homes, and how to begin to open up our lives in a different way and say, God, we want to be those who just offer at least one meal a week to have other neighbors in, to be available to serve you. And you know, we found that in doing that, in sharing our lives, and in just going and seeking to be a blessing to others, that we don't have to try to wedge the message of Jesus in there. People have a spiritual hunger, a deep longing. And we have had the chance to live and proclaim the gospel. It often starts with things like this. People will say to Christy and I, you know, your kids are ridiculously good. As in, like, moral or ethical. So my joke is, I tried to corrupt them, but they won't go. They've got something. They stand out as teenagers who live life differently than other teenagers. Praise God. And that builds a bridge for our neighbors and our friends. It's my desire that following Jesus would catch on, that many would come to know Him. Is that your heartbeat? One calling, every day, you and me and everyone else. Look where Paul goes next in talking about unity. Verse 2 and following, he says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. As a Christian, I know that Jesus is the one that unifies us. We have unity in Him. And that's such a gift. But these verses remind us that unity is also our job. Unity is also our job. We have to learn how to keep our differences at bay and learn how to keep our differences from eroding our unity between us. When Paul says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, I wonder if he was thinking back to some of the fights and the difficulties between Jewish believers and Gentile believers who didn't look alike, who weren't uniform. They didn't act alike, look alike, think alike, and come to the Lord alike. But they were one. And friends, I know that in our relationships, we also are called to learn how to keep differences from eroding our unity. I want you just to look around. God is into diversity. Just, if you're comfortable, just tell the person next door to you that they're so good looking or that God has made them so beautifully. And you see, there's such diversity that we have as we look around the room. Different cultures, different ages, different genders, different backgrounds, different languages. But we in Christ Jesus are one. What a beautiful picture. There's a lot of use of the word intentionality in our culture today. Do you hear that a lot? We got to be more intentional about reaching our neighbors, or more intentional about making time for family. Intentional, intentional, intentional. And I believe we have unity, but we can lose it. We can get distracted. We can let differences keep us from one another. And this is why I put on the bottom of the screen here the words from Romans 12, verse 18. In this beautiful chapter on love, the Apostle Paul says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We need to do our utmost. That's what this word is. Make every effort. It says to make haste, to be diligent, to keep going, to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. What a word for us today. That Jesus is our unifier, but it's also our job. And if we are going to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, peace will require effort and work. I know that challenges me, especially as we live out our calling to make disciples and we encounter new people who come to follow Jesus, who come from a background far different from our own. Now, I have had the privilege. Today is my father's birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. And he's having a big party. They live down in Chatham, Ontario. And I had the privilege to be with my mom and dad for dinner the other night. And just to think back over the heritage that I've received multiple generations back in my family who have known and followed Jesus. How rare and how beautiful a gift that is in Canada today. My friends are coming to follow Jesus today with a different story altogether. God is bringing life to people who have known nothing but brokenness and heartache, nothing but treachery and difficulty, nothing but an absence of God in their experience. And He's revealing Himself to them, and they're coming to know Him and follow Him too. Am I willing to be patient? To know that when I use my in-house Christian language, like I'm using this morning, I'm sure, that it doesn't resonate with everyone. Can I speak the language of the culture around me more and more? Can I enter other people's worlds in order to help them to follow Jesus and not be a hindrance? It's a pastoral problem. If you hung out with pastors or elders or people who've been leaders or teachers in the church, people think we know everything there is to know about the Bible. Well, any pastor worth his salt will say it's not true, and we've got lots to learn. But you know, we can use these things as a distance card. There aren't those who are purer in following Jesus. We need to help one another. We need to draw alongside one another. We need to share what we've come to know. But the learning is always two ways. Am I willing to listen to what God's already doing in the life of another person in order to live out my calling to make disciples? And I put up here one humanity, many cultures, because I've found that in this day and age where I live on planet Earth, it means that I need to enter other cultural realities to learn what is it like to grow up Hindu. What is it like to grow up Buddhist? What is it like to grow up as an atheist? In order to understand my neighbors, the people that are coming into our life now who have no Christian background. I'm in the school of humanity. May God teach us to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace to those who are coming in, not as Jewish background believers or spiritual background believers, but Gentiles. Those with no spiritual background, like our own. Lord, help me to live out my calling in the real world. Another aspect of unity is this beautiful portrait, this beautiful hymn. By the way, I always remembered that this was a place where people love to sing. And I didn't hear you sing much this morning. So can we just sing like the chorus of Hallelujah together? Do you know that one? Hallelujah. Come on, sing it out. Hallelujah. 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 Praise ye the Lord, the one Lord. I love these verses. Paul is making the point very clear, isn't he? There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in you all. It is about the Lord Jesus. He is King this morning. And I believe that we are entering a beautiful season as the body of Christ, where our gift and our priority is not to focus on where we are where we differ in our understanding of our faith, but to center in on the centrality of Jesus Christ, the unity that we have in Him. This is what Paul is saying in the midst of different background believers coming together and saying, oh, it's not like it used to be. And Paul's saying, never mind that. It's about Jesus. Even as this chapter goes on, I'm going to skip a few verses here, but he comes to talk about the verse in verse 11. It was he, meaning Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so the body is built up in unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. It's about Jesus. The giftings God gives to us are about Jesus. The leaders God gives to the church are to help cultivate that unity that we have as we follow Jesus. What a beautiful gift today to know that we have one Lord, and it is Jesus Christ in the church, around the world, through various expressions and different forms, that the body of Christ is united in the Lord Jesus. Does that excite you today? It thrills my heart to know that I can go and I can discover how people different from myself are following the Lord Jesus on mission in their context. When I hear praise in other languages that I don't yet understand, how beautiful it is to know that we are one in the Lord Jesus. Have you felt that spiritual unity when someone prays in another language or sings praise in another language or serves Jesus in another language? Love language. What a gift that we have to be one in the Lord Jesus. I believe in the church today, there is a problem in North America. It's the Hollywood problem, the cult of personality, spiritual and Christian celebrities. You see this happening? People have a favorite preacher or a favorite musician, and no one else will compare. No one else will do. They are the ones next to Jesus. And Paul's point is here, look, there are different leaders. Let's not get wrapped up into this apostolic leader or this evangelistic leader or this pastoral leader or this teacher, but let us, or this prophet, but let us remember it was he who gave some to give leadership. Friends, that is the centering in on the Lord Jesus. He is God, and we are not. And in the Lord Jesus, we're not made equal to God, but brought into right relationship with Him. And He is our unifier. Now, here's one for the kids. This chapter goes on, and I just want you to flip over to the end to verse 16, and you can read them. But does anyone know what's in the picture here? Just shout it out. Transformers, robots in disguise. That's right. These were fashionable toys when I was a kid, and lately they've been made into a series of lousy movies. But this picture symbolizes a number of different robots on the left, and then they all form that gigantic robot on the right. And in Transformer language, do you know what that's called when they put themselves together? Energon. I've become a Transformer geek this morning. In North America, we call that Energon, and in Japan, they call it a Superlink. And what happens is that the individual robots that are here to protect us from the evil, what's his name, Negatron? Huh? Negatron. Yeah. And so they individually can fight and protect us from the enemies. But every once in a while, they come up against a really bad enemy who is too big to take on alone. And so they say, Energon, and they gather together and they form into this giant monster, and they win the day. Isn't that great? Woohoo. There's something beautiful in the end of this section as the Apostle Paul is continuing to talk about that we are one in Christ and until we attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And look at the last section here in verse 14 through 16. Just listen if you want to follow along. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From Jesus Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Our unity is in Jesus Christ. And there's something so supernatural when we are linked together. And you notice that Paul is talking here about ligaments. You know what a ligament is? It's that tough fibrous tissue that holds bones together so that we're not bone on bone, you know, colliding with one another, wearing another down, but we actually are working in harmony. When you think about all the ligaments that help your body to work together, it's an amazing thing. And the Apostle Paul is saying Christ is the head and the whole body is being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. That we are the parts of the body, but there's some supernatural connecting that God is bringing that caused the growth of the body and the building up of itself in love. And so when we are together in this work, it's not mere humanitarian effort. When we join our voices, when we join our hands in labor of love to the Lord, when we join our bikes and ride for the work of the Lord around the world, we are not just side by side as two humans. God Himself in the body is bringing that joining, the ligament work, so that we are more powerful together than we are alone. Do you believe that? God is doing incredible things through His church today. We are His hands. We are His feet. And the Lord is at work just multiplying those efforts, making a difference through the lives of believers who understand this is not just 1 + 1 = 2. This is for Jesus who unites us together. Friends, our unity is not just this cohesiveness. It is that God Himself brings us together with many different gifts under one purpose. And I love this fact that we are one, not in the way that some want to experience unity, to just feel good about being in the same room together or in the same group or the same church together. That feels good. But we are one to cooperate together in God's kingdom work in the world, helping others to follow Jesus, taking on the work of the enemy of our faith, who says there is no hope, there is no love, but it's wrong. And may the Lord continue to energize us to know that we are one in Jesus' purpose for a reason. I want to close the message today thinking about the one calling, the one humanity, to not let differences erode our unity in our one Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know how the Lord has been speaking to you today, but I look at these verses and I ask myself these questions, and maybe they relate to what you're going through today. First of all, in terms of one calling, how can I be faithful to Jesus' calling today? I want to wake up and I want to ask that question every day. So no matter where I am or what I'm involved in my work, in my play, in my neighborhood, in my relationships, over mealtimes, how can I be faithful to that one calling that God has sent me to the world to bless others and help to enable them to follow Jesus? Is that a question that resonates with you today? Let's not lose sight of it. Sometimes it is the things of our life, our appointments, our cares, our duties, our responsibilities. They just come zipping at us faster and faster and faster, and we can feel a victim of our own schedule. Do you ever feel that way? But can we wake up with that expression on our mind and say, Lord, would you use everything that's going to happen today so that I can be faithful to that calling? One humanity. In the body of Christ, unity comes from Jesus. It's supernatural, but it's also our job. And the Lord may be prompting you today, as He's prompted me along the years, of people that I had to go and make something right with them, a sister or a brother in Christ. I remember as I finished up my 11 years of pastoring at Royal City, that there was a period of about 4 weeks. And in that 4 weeks of winding down and preparing to pick up this job as a regional minister, that the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, I want you to talk to so-and-so. I want you to talk to so-and-so. I want you to talk to so-and-so. And you know, in the gift of that, I didn't know that I had always been, I knew that I was a jerk, but I didn't know that I had always done something wrong to offend. But that there was something between us that needed to be made right. And the Lord prompted me just to go humbly and to say, I feel there's something between us. And I'm not sure if I need to apologize for something. But I want us to be one in the Lord. And the Lord revealed things to me that I didn't see in myself. And those barriers came down. And what a gift to know that that unity was restored. Friends, I'm not saying this is for everyone this morning, but you might be here and there may be something in your life where there is a barrier that is impeding unity. And the Lord Jesus is saying, unity above everything else. It was His prayer for us in John 17 that we would be one. So may we listen to those promptings of the Lord. What is the relationship I need to work harder at? And thirdly, we see that it is about the one Lord Jesus. Not just our gifts, not just our strengths, not just our humanitarian effort together, but it is about the Lord Jesus. And the question that came to me in the midst of this was, whose purpose am I committed to in using my gifts, my strength, my all? Lord, is it truly my motive is to live for You, is to serve You, is to see You bring us as a body into deeper relationship with Yourself and more purposeful engagement of the world? Lord, help me to be committed to You, to live a life worthy of the calling that I've received. Keep unity, embrace diversity, live for that one calling to go and make disciples and center on Jesus' purpose for His church, His body. Let's continue to be energized by Him as we live out our calling in the world today. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank You so much today that You have been here with us, that ahead of any desire we may have to live for You, You desire to meet with us, to speak to us, to commune with us. What a gift, Lord, to bring our hearts before You this morning in worship, to be reminded of our calling. And God, I'm just asking that You will speak to each one by Your Spirit in ways that You want us to respond to this word on unity and oneness today. Lord, help us to continue to keep in step with You and with one another, in order that the community of Markham and other neighborhoods and communities where You have placed us as individuals would continue to be affected by the gospel lived out, walked out, proclaimed, and the love of Jesus that flows from us would draw others to Yourself. We pray it for the sake of Jesus alone. Amen. Amen. Thank you.